Welcome to the Teaching Journeys podcast, hosted by Dave Roberts. Humanity possesses a unique skill, the ability to pass knowledge from one generation to the next. This podcast embraces that ability, offering learning opportunities through conversations with extraordinary guests. Dave aims to leave a positive mark on individuals around the world. So before you dive into today's episode, please share this podcast with your network, including friends, family, and colleagues. And please consider leaving a rating or review. Your support makes all the difference.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts, and it is my absolute pleasure to have as my guest on the program today, Steve Ramona. Steve Ramona is a super connector and partnership specialist. He is a next-level super connector, creating $1 billion in project impact and over $100 million in partner deals, one personalized introduction at a time. His signature approach, custom video intros that make every connection personal, purposeful, and profitable. As host of the Top 20 Doing Business with a Servant's Heart podcast, now over 800 episodes strong and reaching 50,000 plus listeners per show, Steve is a guiding voice in heart-led business growth. He also leads Together We Serve on E360 TV, where 1.6 million viewers tune in monthly to hear transformational stories from purpose-driven leaders. Steve isn't just building networks. He's building a movement of meaningful collaboration and lasting impact. Steve, welcome to the Teaching Journeys podcast. I've been looking forward to our conversation for quite a while now.
Dave, when I first met you, I was looking for this. So thank you very much, because we're so in line, and I'm realizing after the last year, it's much needed, this service, this mentality of uplifting and bringing value to people.
Yeah, I think not only in not-for-profits, which is typically where you see servant leadership manifest just because of the nature of mental health and human services, but also talking with you and just having a recent conversation with Stacy Wright, Vanessa Thompson, it's obvious that there's a new wave in terms of attitude, in terms of bringing that heart-centered leadership, sustainable leadership into the private sector.
I completely agree with you. Guys like us, we're making that difference, including Vanessa and Stacy.
Yep. And I got to say, Steve is a super connector. I think if he sent me a bill for all the podcast referrals he sent me, I'd have to probably take a mortgage out on my second house. So, but you sent me, yeah, you sent me some great people, and I got a ways to catch up to reciprocate the favor, but I'm always on the lookout for guests that I think will be a great addition and great fit for your podcast.
I love that you said that. And audience, here's a great example of, we don't scoreboard this. Three here, three back, three here. Just give as much as you can. And that's all we care about. That's all the universe, in my case, that's all God cares about. Just give as much as you can. It could be just a smile and tell somebody, you look great today.
Yep. Just the littlest gesture of kindness and compassion can go a long way in just making somebody's day, particularly a person who may believe that they have no value to the world, and they're questioning that value. Just all those little things, I think, just keeps them going for another day.
Yep, absolutely.
So, Steve, tell our audience about the path that you took to get where you are today, to become the ultimate super connector, servant leader. Tell us about some of your experiences.
So I was blessed at 18 years old, got out of high school, was going to go play community college football, but I had that summer break. And not sure what I was going to do. And my company, family started a health club. So my cousin Jeff, who was the president, said, why don't you come work the front desk and make a little money? And that turned into 20 years of working there, growing up the ladder. But what I learned when you work there, what a great place for anybody 18, 19, or 20 is working at a health club. Because what are you meeting? 30, 40, 50, 60, 70-year-olds that are coming in. And what naturally, organically happens, Dave, is you build a relationship. You know, instead of, hey, Dave, welcome to the club. Hey, Dave, have a great day, which is nice. It's, hey, Dave, how's your grandkids going? Hey, Dave, how was your vacation to Belize? Well, you're having these friendship conversations and guys taking me out to lunch and giving me tips. And I have a great story of Tony, his little Italian guy. He called me kid. Hey, kid, how you doing? Hey, kid. And we'd laugh. And great guy. He came in one day and said, kid, he threw a book at me, a little tiny book called The Wealthy Barber. And he said, read that. When I come back next week, I want you to tell me what you get out of it. So he comes back and absolutely like he always does. He said, what'd you think? I said, take 10% of my income and put it away and don't touch it. It was much more than that, but that was the cliff notes. And he says, don't touch it, Steve. Just let it grow. You don't need that 10%. I know you think you can do it. And by the way, Dave, this is 1979-80, where they're making $3 an hour.
Yeah.
Not a lot of money, but still taking the 10%. So years go by. Tony eventually leaves the club because he's retired from he was a financial advisor from his business. And I looked at the account, I was 28 years old, it was $68,000. Wow. I thought I won the lottery. Of course, I tried to spend it like a lottery. He helped me out a little bit. So, you know, because I learned over those 20 years at the health club, if I serve, bring value, walk around the club, help people, get them taken care of, stuff comes back. It's just a good feeling, but the reciprocation happens. So my same mindset, I'm going to call Tony, right? I do. Let's say, Tony, hey, here's what happened. Congratulations, kid. Still called me kid. I was almost 30 years old. And I said, I want to give you $1,000. This was your business. I want to thank you. Now, kid, let me tell you the story. You taking the book and reading it and following and taking action, in my life, somebody came into a door opened somewhere. And that's what happens. You reciprocate. So just take that and you reciprocate it. I got off the phone, Dave. I was blown away. I'm like, holy mackerel, this is really cool. I got to keep doing this. Mm-hmm. And that spurred and catalyst of me learning this servant's heart, bringing people, uplifting them.
Yeah, there's a cliche. I mean, it's a cliche-ish, but it's true. What you give, you get. Maury Schwartz, one of my favorite professors of all time and the subject of Tuesdays with Maury with Mitch Albom, said giving is living.
And God, I love that.
And I take that mentality with me. I mean, I think when we give, we feel we're going outside of ourselves and we just naturally feel good that we have made a difference in somebody's life. Even like you said, if it's $1,000, if it's $10, if it's a smile, it doesn't matter. We're going outside of ourselves, putting our own problems on the back burner to help somebody else. Or perhaps our problems and traumas that we've experienced fuels that servant's heart and fuels us to want to become compassionate, present, and authentic individuals, authentic business leaders, authentic non-for-profit leaders.
Absolutely. It's a skill set that you can learn. It's something that it's a mindset with the skill, and anybody can do it. That's the power of this. Me and you aren't special, Dave, I say, but we're special because we take action. We do the impact. We do the, how can I uplift you? How can I bring you value? And I've got a quick story that really represents this because a lot of people, they want to know the ROI. Okay, I go out and volunteer and do this. What comes back to me? When, where, how, you're never going to, rarely are you going to know what that is. But have faith and hope that it does because me and Dave will tell you, it absolutely helps you in so many different ways. So I teach and mentor business people and entrepreneurs, and they're telling me all the time, what are you doing when you have a bad day? I said, go serve. Okay. What do you mean by that? Well, go out and call your best friend you haven't talked to in a while. Maybe call your mom. Maybe Venmo your friend $10 for coffee. Well, whatever it is, just bring value to them, uplift them. So I did that. 2:00, left my office. I rarely do that. I guess I like to work, but you know, work less. But I went out and followed my own advice. And I was at the grocery store getting some groceries to the family. And there's a lady in front of me with a baby. And I had this calling. I'm going to buy her groceries. And people are familiar with the Starbucks pay for the, which I love. And so the kid at the clerk was like, dude, he's a surfer guy. I'm in California. Dude, what? Dude, nobody bought what? That's weird, dude. I said, do me a favor. And she's like, oh, I don't know. I'm okay. I said, no, it's just a call. I want to do this. So I did it and I paid my groceries and I walked out. It wasn't a lot of money. The money doesn't matter. It's the action, taking the action.
Yeah.
And when I'm walking out, she's tearing up. Now I'm feeling uncomfortable, like, oh, I upset her because she doesn't know me. And she says, Steve, no. Her name was Debbie. She says, you're not going to believe what you just did. So what did I do? She goes, my husband lost his job last week. This baby, I wasn't sure how I'm going to get the diapers and food you just bought. We're struggling now with money. And you gave us another week, 10 days to help him find a job and take care of our baby. I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I told the story, you know, and thanked her and hugged her and walked out. The cool thing is I didn't know that. But I got, I guess you could say the scoreboard or the reciprocation came back. But I think more important, Dave, what is she going to do when she goes home?
She's going to tell her husband.
Amen. And most of the time, or a lot of the time, people are going to remember that, and they're going to pay it forward with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So when we do these things that we're talking about, Dave, you are making an impact. You just most of the time won't know what that is, but you will be.
Yeah. You know, we can't judge the impact that we have on anybody or the world for that matter. I mean, we can't even judge literally the value of our own lives, much less anybody else. But sometimes I'll hear from former students that I hadn't heard from in years, and all of a sudden they'll say, you know, Dave, what you said in class about this particular topic helped me when I was dealing with a client or dealing with a family. It makes me feel good. That's, for me, giving through teaching and sharing my expertise so that the younger generation can be impactful, and that impact can carry on from generation to generation to generation.
Amen. I love that because it's great to hear. I agree with you. When I heard that, I was floored. My bad day turned into a very good day that day.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing you learned at a young age, too, I mean, this is something that school didn't teach you, that college couldn't teach you. No. Every person that came into that place where you were working, you took an interest in their lives. You asked questions about their lives. You took a personal interest. And I remember reading a book by the late Richard Marcinko, who was an ex-Navy SEAL commander. I think he was the leader of one of the more famous Navy SEAL teams in history. They did some really rogue missions that really protected our country. But he talked about if you're in a supervisory capacity, as part of leadership, get to know everything you can personally about the people that you're working for. Take an interest in their personal lives, just not their professional lives. And to dovetail off of that, we bring our histories into the workplace. We bring our history into positions of leadership. That history can inhibit us as far as our ability to do servant leadership, or it can motivate us and it can stimulate us to be better servant leaders. So I think the fact that you took an interest at a young age, and this is a natural extension of who you are and who you became and are becoming, that's just a tenet. If you want to build really humanitarian organizations and build servant leaders within the organization, you have to model that by taking a personal interest in somebody's life.
Dave, that's why I fell in love with you when I first met you. And I'm going to say love to man to man. It's important because I don't think we say enough or feel it enough. It's okay. Because that's what I love about you is that thought, because I have the same thing, the same process. Our whole goal is just to uplift people, because the world's a mess.
Yeah.
Nobody can, you know, I guess people could argue it, but it needs help. And we could do it one person at a time. It's powerful. And, you know, Dave, mentors are the key. And you mentioned some people already. My cousin Jeff, my dad, may rest in peace. You know, Jeff taught me customer service. Every time I talk to him, I say, hey, I got him on podcast and I mentioned his name because I was 18, 19, 20 years old. And you told me, I mean, he told us a little trick. And this is something, audience, is really good for you to learn how to serve, is we're not going to remember. 1,000 people came to the club every day. There's no way these employees can remember everybody's name. And they tell us that. How am I going to? You don't have to remember. Just look at the computer screen. As they run their card through, just go, hey, Dave, have a great workout. They don't know the difference. They don't care the difference. It's the acknowledgement, being seen. And then you remember when they walked out. If you don't, you know, look at the screen or, you know, ask again, hey, what was your name yet? Jim, have a great workout. I've never had anybody get mad at me going, hey, I forgot your name. What was your name again? And I've never been mad at somebody else that said the same thing to me. So when you go out to a grocery store, restaurant, anybody that's got a badge, say their name twice minimum.
Yep.
It's just the responses I get. One lady tear up, she goes, you know what? I've been having a bad day. I really appreciate you acknowledging me.
Yep.
Simple as that.
Yeah. Just saying their name acknowledges their existence.
Yeah. Oh, well said. I love that.
That just acknowledges their existence. Also acknowledges their lineage, because they could have been named after a grandparent, a great grandparent. They may have been named after, they might have had a family friend whose child had died, and that name was bestowed on them. So you're not only honoring that person, you're honoring that history as well, too, and that other family, which, like you said, we don't know what impact we're going to have. But boy, that's far-reaching. Anything we do is going to be far-reaching. We may not know how far-reaching, but it's going to be far-reaching.
Absolutely. I keep saying absolutely because you're so correct. You know, I know people, it's easy for us. This might be something for you if you're listening to practice it. And the main thing is a good practice. Because I guarantee you, audience, if you do that, if somebody comes to you and says, thank you, you made my day, it's going to change you. You just mentioned earlier how much that student changed you. And many have come back to you and changed you going, you know, that day it's been really struggling. I remember when that student said something, that's why I do this. That's why I come at 6 o'clock in the morning. That's why I keep teaching. You know, all those whys and purposes come right back up.
And I've gotten student emails that have, they've expressed their gratefulness for, you know, my teaching and what they learned. And there are times that, Steve, I was having a bad day and just was, you question. I think we all question. It's part of the human experience. Are we making a difference? Is really what we're doing, is it making an impact anywhere? Then you get an email like that. It's like, yeah, I'm going to keep going. And it's just, it gives me that little nudge to keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing until the day that I go dancing into another dimension.
I'm not a good dancer, but at least I think they'll still let me dance.
Heck, I think wherever we're going, I don't think style points are going to matter.
I'm not dancing with the stars. We're not going to have to worry about that.
No, we don't have to at all. So your podcast, and I had the privilege of being a guest on Doing Business with a Servant's Heart. That was, for me, a great conversation. And I remember, and I don't do this on a lot of podcasts, verbally tearing up when I was telling you the story about the student who was just so out of sorts that she was going to kill herself because of everything that had happened. And I remember we both teared up. I knew it that, and I don't usually do that on podcasts, but I felt just such a safe space with you, and I felt just that connection, and I could just see you oozing compassion. Then when I shared that, it affected you at the same time it affected me, and that's an experience that I'll always take with me. But this is kind of a long-ended intro in terms of asking you, tell us about Doing Business with the Servant's Heart. What's the mission of the podcast? How does the mission align with everything else that you do, Steve?
I just want people like you did, Dave, is tell their story to give people hope or direction or motivation, inspiration, or maybe to educate them to take the step in the direction they need to go. There's other people out there telling that story on the podcast. I know because I've had people reach out and tell me that story they've heard. We've impacted people. As I say on a podcast, and even this one, if we impact one person or 1,000 people, me and you are good. Same with my podcast. It just takes that one, because audience, keep in mind, when you get one, what are they going to do? We're coming up to Christmas and Thanksgiving. They're going to tell that story. Man, I listened to this podcast, Dave Roberts. He had this student, and somebody goes, you know what? I'm worried about my son with suicide. Wow. And you get this cycle of momentum of, well, let me do this and let's do this. And maybe we're on our ways. That jet's taken off. And that's what we're trying to do. But here's the power of podcast. I love teaching people how to podcast. And you just said it earlier before the show. I get to learn so much from my guests. It's powerful. And I'll tell you a quick story. In May, I was diagnosed with diabetes. Freaked out. Lost friends to diabetes. I'm 64 years old. I'm not a young pup anymore. And I had a guest on my show, Eric Collette. And we got done talking. I just met him that day. And this is the power of podcasting. I said, Eric, here's my situation. I got this book. What do you, he goes, read the book. Here's a couple of tips. And here, let me help you. And gave me some resources. Right away. In 4 months, I was off all my medicine. I lost 45 pounds. That's not life-changing. My health, my life was changed because I was open to have somebody on my show to help me. I wasn't there to help me. It's just we became so close, like me and you have, Dave, that I can ask, can you help me? And he did. And I'll tell that story forever. That's why we meet people. That's why we uplift people. If I did a crappy podcast, over-talked, spoke over him, was rude, was crazy, was just not there, I don't know if Eric would have helped me. But we talk every month and connect. We're friends now, more than just podcast guests. And he's always helping me in my journey. These type of things are what can happen when we meet people, whether it's on a podcast, the host, as a guest. We got Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up. Those are opportunities to meet people and just learn about them and help them and lift them up.
And yeah, particularly the holidays are such a challenging time for many people, depending on what's going on in their lives. I'm glad that Eric reached out to help you. I'm glad you heeded that guidance, and you're 40 pounds lighter and you're in good health, because hell, man, the world ain't ready for you to check out yet. So
I really appreciate that. I'm not ready either. We've got a lot more work to do, Dave.
I think we do, Steve. I think we do. And every day I wake up, I thank the good Lord for allowing me to sit up and take nourishment, or stand up and take nourishment, whatever I happen to be doing. And I just ask him to give me another day to do what I love doing. And I'm having a lot of fun doing it and a lot of meaning doing it. And, you know, I never thought, given my circumstances with my daughter, that I'd ever say I'd be having fun again. But I am having fun. And I'm in no hurry for eternity to start for me. I want to just get as much out of this life as I can, and have as much impact as I can before I go.
For you to say that right now, my heart is so excited, because, you know, we're not going to get, you know, most people listening probably know this story, but impact comes crazy. And my dad used to, you know, I call my dad, and my dad, we're really close. And every day I go, "Hey Dad, how you doing today?" He goes, "I woke up vertical." See, I used to laugh, and my siblings would get upset. I thought it was funny, but he was dead serious. You know, "God woke me up vertical today." Yep. He lived to 91, so he was up vertical many times, yep, which is great. And he was blessed. So I love that you said that about every time you wake up, you get a mission. So, and I do too.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's life can turn on a dime, as we both know. And, you know, it's important for us to make every day the best day.
Yeah. Amen.
And a day of service and impact. So,
yeah.
Let's go into Together We Serve. That's a show that I believe you produce. It's on E360 TV. How does that align with or complement the mission of your podcast and what you do as a super connector?
A couple of things. One, it's podcast. I take on a lot of guests. I used doing 5 shows a day. Can't do that anymore. I've launched a major business that takes my time. I do 1 or 2 a day because, again, I love doing these guesting and hosting. And what I've done with the TV show is bringing on people that have a major impact, an incredible story. Like Alfonso James, who was convicted of murder at 17 years old and lived 32 years in prison, 5 years in solitary. He didn't commit the murder, but it took 32 years for him to come out. And the crazy part about this is I'm on the show again, tearing up like I did in yours. And I go, "Alfonso, I'm going to be very transparent here. I don't know if I can be as grateful as you are. I might be mad at the world." And he said, "Stop, Steve. Here's why." And he had his beautiful partner. She was sitting next to him. It was such a great moment. He says, "Steve, I wake up," he's in Wisconsin, "I wake up in the morning, drive to the lake. I sit down on the bench. I watch the sunrise, the birds flying by. I can hear them chirping, and then the water just flowing. It's those little things I never saw for 32 years. I can see, and they make a more impact on me." And that's why I think the small things that I do are big to me, like the smile to somebody, or "Hey, you have a beautiful baby," because I keep thinking of Alfonso. Or when something big's happening, you know what? I get to see the birds. I get to feel the water. I get to feel the environment, my nature around me, which he couldn't do for 32 years. So I bring them on the show, so it's got a bigger impact, because I want 1 million people to see the message, doing business with a servant's heart. You could say doing business in life if you don't have your own business. But having that servant's heart message that you're putting out there as well, if we all can do that, I want to change the world, impact the world. Can't do it alone.
No. We need a community.
Yeah. We lost that for a while in COVID. I'm glad it's coming back.
Me too. And I think we're starting to hit our stride again after COVID. I think the community piece and the community emphasis is now starting to rebuild itself and to reinvent itself. So
it taught us all a big lesson, that's for sure.
It did. Yeah, that's an incredible story as with him as well, too. 32 years of being wrongly convicted, he comes out and he's just grateful for just the little things in life without any apparent anger, bitterness. He's just happy to see he takes pride in the little things. We can learn a lot about forgiveness from him and learn a lot about appreciating the little things and recognizing that if we have it, do we think we got it bad? Somebody's always had it worse than us.
Yeah. And he taught me too, not to be vengeful, go after people when they've done you wrong. And I have Max, I'll be a shout out to my business partner. He's the same way. Just let it go.
Yeah.
It's not that big.
No.
And we all have those type of things happen to us. And we kind of lean on those way too long or too much. And we're taking life away from ourselves. A time when we could be enjoying being on podcast, spending time with our family or friends or whatever. And we're worried about this. You're not sleeping. Your health's affected. That's what it really taught me is, you know what? Next. What can I do next?
And you know, everything good or bad is in service to us, Steve. It teaches us something. I mean, teaches us to embrace all of who we are, both the yin and the yang of it. And that type of genuineness to me translates threefold or exponentially into servant leadership.
Yeah, and here's a great teaching journey, that I love this podcast, by the way, Dave.
Thank you.
What podcasting, but what serving teaches me and taught me was I got this principle. It's called the ASLA principle, A-S-L-A. Ask, shut up, listen, and ask. Of course, right away, like you did, you're like, shut up. And I did that purposely. And you can say shut up and active listening, whatever you want to do. Ask that question. But when we shut up, are we really listening? Think of this image when you're on a Zoom room. You've got 5, 10, 15 windows. And some of them are black. Their video is not on. No judgment here. Maybe they went to the bathroom, answered the door, whatever. They had to go do it, or maybe they didn't want to listen. Doesn't matter. That's not the point here. The point is, did they really hear what the person's saying? Probably not. So don't be that black window on a Zoom when you're talking to people. Shut up and truly actively listening, and then ask another question. I have helped so many people and served them because I knew what they needed because I asked questions and shut up and listened.
Yeah.
Oh, you need to meet more people. Well, hey, let's try this. Have you seen this? Have you done this? Have you thought about this? And I got to say, Dave, I'm like you. I'm a teacher, but I do it not in a classroom. I do it on Zooms. I meet people one-on-one. Hey, you got to meet Steve. And 50% of the time they get off the Zoom going, Steve, that's unbelievable. I just did it an hour ago with a guy. I gave him some tips and resources. I served him. Because, Steve, I've known you for 2 years. You keep doing this. Why? I said, your reaction right there. You're so fired up. I'm helping you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Why? And then I tell him, why not? It was great. Great answer. Why not? So ask, shut up, and listen. Ask. You'll be so much better at serving because, like you and me, we're really unique at this. But because when we practice, it's a skill. That's why I call it a skill. But using that principle of ask up and listen and ask again, you'll get to know people. You'll build a relationship. Your business will grow. Now, I don't say ask. So think about pitching. You're asking to shut up and listen, to ask again to learn more,
absolutely,
not to be able to pitch them. That will come when it comes.
Yeah. And you know what? I've told my students, and by the way, you don't need a traditional classroom to be a teacher. You could teach anywhere. But in the classroom, I tell my students, I said, look, your best asset is going to be your ability to listen. And how I would suggest you do this, you ask the question, and listen to the answer and see if that answer cues another question and keep going down the road. And what you're doing is you are basically modeling to that individual the importance of presence, that you want to be present for his answers. The questions that are going to develop from that are going to be more important than the questions you got written down on a sheet of paper. And that's how you establish relationships with people. It's about, as a teacher, I want to establish a mentorship or relationship with my students. I want them to come back for further classes with me. I also want them to feel comfortable to come and see me outside of class if life is getting in the way for them. And this way we can exchange and share some information that may be helpful to them beyond the classroom. So teaching comes in any capacity, Steve, whether it's in a Zoom room, whether you're teaching on a playground, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's do you embody the principles of being a good teacher? And
yeah, I love it. Your brother from another mother, Dave, I'm going to tell you right now, we're the very same. We think so much alike. If anybody could be a teacher, that's the power of meeting people and podcasting or whatever. Because what have me and you learned? The stuff we're using today that we didn't have a year ago. You've done 199 shows. Well, that's 199 guests that you get to learn from to serve others.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you those gifts to go, hey, here's a tip on LinkedIn. Hey, here's something to learn here. Here's that. Yep. You got to have that to be able to serve people.
Mm-hmm.
You have it, but it helps serve people more.
Absolutely. Especially if you know resources that are going to be immediately helpful and you've spent the time researching that. Another way that we give is let's help somebody who's just starting out to say, here, we're going to save you the time to research. Here's what we found. Here's a couple of resources that I found through my own research, through my own examination of tools. This may be of some help to you. And for somebody who's starting out, whether it's doing a podcast or any type of venture, business venture, it's got to be scary because they could be overwhelmed by the number of resources out there. So it's like, how do I choose? How do I narrow it down? What podcast platform do I use? What type of microphone do I use? Do I use Riverside? Do I use Zoom? What do I do? So if we've done all the research, we can say, here's some things that I found, and I want to try to make your jump into this. I want to see you be as successful or more successful than me. Let me help you do this by sharing what I already know.
I love it because in real time, I do a podcast workshop. Everything I learn every month, I've learned over the last 3 years, 850 shows. I just had one Wednesday. I had 12 people show up, and two people, Jesper and Carolyn, shout out to them, had no podcast 8 months ago. But once they came to my podcast workshop, they've now launched podcasts, and both of them done over 30 or 40 shows and loving it. And I'm proud to say that, proud that I was able to help them, get them going. And Jesper said, yeah, we swapped guest opportunities and we're now friends.
Mm-hmm.
Can't hear anything better than that.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a community with podcasting too. I've done podcast swaps, you know, providing our message is aligned, and I'll do that anytime. If a podcaster has me on their podcast, I'm going to say, look, I love to have you as a guest on mine. And that's all part of the service, the servant leadership. Richard Marcinko, as I think I alluded to earlier, said, we're all servants to, he goes, I'm just a humble servant to a noble cause. And there's a lot of truth in that, Steve. We're all humble servants to a noble cause. And that noble cause is the betterment of humanity.
And I think everybody's soul has that servant spirit in it. I think everybody has it. It's just more people bring it out than others. I think we're built that way. I think that's the way, but life gets in the way. So I'm just trying to get it out of people, trying to get people to use that a little bit more.
I'll share a story with you too, Steve, about that whole piece. You know, the stigma that's always around addiction, right? And, you know, as being a former addictions counselor and a clinical supervisor, I dealt with that every day. There, my supervisor and mentor, Don, who was an ex-Navy SEAL commander and a social worker, clinical social worker, I was after a combination. He taught me everything about how to build teams, how to treat people with respect, how to build rapport with those individuals you're supervising, how to treat clients with dignity. He died in 1998. And my daughter, Janine, who died 5 years later, was very close to him. And one of the things that a client that he worked with, who I developed a soft spot for, he was like this kid, he was this tough kid on the outside, just a real rebel, but on the inside was one hurting young man. And that was, there was a cover for the heart that this kid had all the time. And he knew I was broken up with Don, and I'll never forget this. And individuals with addiction anybody can have a spiritual experience, but there's a lot of individuals with addiction who are highly intuitive. And so he came to see me, and he, after Don died, and he said, you know, he had this like altered look and his eyes started getting like, you know, he was like, and we had one foot in this zip code and the other foot in the spiritual world. He said, I see Donnie's right next to you and he's going to help you take care of this facility. And that, boy, that meant the world to me. You know, that meant the world to me. So you take a look at impact and come from the, you know, the most unlikely places. Or with addiction, it's either people look at it as, well, you're either an addict or you failed or you didn't fail. Well, it's not all about that. It's what happens in between. It's what happens in between. And there are individuals who have been recovering in addiction who have had 5 or 10 years sober that have done some amazing service work. But that tends to get downplayed. So, you know, but I'll never forget that. And that meant a lot to me. That got me through some tough moments, knowing that he valued me enough to share that with me and to take a risk to share that with me.
Expected nothing from it.
Yep.
Just came from his heart.
That's exactly it. And, wow. This has been a heck of a conversation so far, Steve.
Oh, my gosh, Steve, it has. I was thinking the same thing when you told the stories. We are getting some deep things here.
We are.
Just get.
I want to shift just a little bit to partnerships. I know you're a firm advocate for building partnership and collaborations. Why are partnerships, collaborations, why are they so important in business and more so in life?
Yeah. The business part is we're the people asset business. An audience asset and financial means you can go up, it can go down. You portfolio assets, but same thing with people. You can make people an asset that goes up and helps you grow or assets that don't help you grow. And if you build partnerships and collaborate and work together, it's much easier. You said earlier so well about entrepreneur, it's scary, it's a new journey, you can't do it alone. None of this can be done alone. But let's add the component to this of making money together. Like bringing our services together, offer more value, and then starting $1,000 a month, maybe we charge $2,000 a month or a year, whatever. But you're also bringing value. You are supporting, helping, and serving people. Mm-hmm. People got to pay for that value. We go in the grocery store, we eat an apple, we're hungry, we're going to pay whatever it is for that apple. That's all this is. We just don't want to convince, pitch, and slap people with our business. But the partnerships, and I talked to a gentleman, he's $250 million a year in business. And I asked him, what's the secret sauce? He goes, I serve my competitors. Hear that? I serve my competitors, my board, my employees. I wake up in the morning thinking how I'm going to serve. And it's reciprocated. I have a $250 million company because people know it's a great space to come and buy from us or work with us because I partner up with everybody. And a perfect example is whatever your business is, you've got somebody coming in, it's not a fit for your business. There's two ways I see people go. I'm going to throw that circle into a square peg, try to make it work, and charge them $10,000. Okay, you got the money. You're probably not going to help them. Is that good for your business? Probably not. Or you go, hey, Steve, Ramona, I'm not a good fit for you, but go see Dave Roberts. I think he's a great fit. Let me introduce you. That's a partnership. Because me and you are partnering, and I take the client and give them to you. Now, you're going to get me fired up on this. This is a subject I love. People come to me and go, but I just gave up $10,000. You're becoming transactional, not transformational. Flip it around. Become transformational. Did that client get transformed? Audience, I want you to think about that. Yes or no? I think, of course. I know, Dave, you do too. We partner up and work together to serve you more. I use this analogy. If we're on YouTube and you see the video, I've got my hand at my chin level. People serve. I'm serving. We're serving. It's great. You're serving people. I'm always thinking of ways to get to my nose, up level my service, to give more value.
Yes.
People came to our health club because we served them to know towels clean all the time. Equipment always working. My cousin would get mad at me. Why is that treadmill down? Always thinking about bringing value, value, value.
Yes.
So when you partner up, your ability to do that and do more, maybe it's 4 or 5 partnerships, maybe it's a conglomerate, whatever you want to call it, it just opens the door. Now in life, we have bad things happen in life. My dad died in 2017. was so close to my dad. My, and shout out to them, my wife's parents found out. They would come to the hospital and see my dad, and they've only known him a couple of years. But I come back to the hospital. My dad had passed. We're in the hospital room. In come my parents, my wife's parents, at the time girlfriend, to come check on me and my dad. That's a partnership of support for grief. And this is what you're an expert at. We can't grieve alone because it's going to be dangerous. Mm-hmm. And partnerships, that's what partnerships are. In business, it rewards you maybe financially, but in serving, in life, it's just that valuable support we need when something happens in our life. I have great people, my best friend, 50 years, I can call him tomorrow. And I've done that with things going on and vice versa. He'd call me and just use me as a sounding board. It is worth more than gold in my eyes.
Yep. Well, you know, the thing with partnerships too, my strengths can complement my partner's weaknesses. So we complement each other and we put ourselves in positions to succeed, you know, in terms of any endeavor. I mean, let's say you and I are in business together and you have a particular skill that I don't. I'm going to say, Steve, look, I'm concerned that we bring value to this conversation. I want our client to believe that they're going to have value, but I'm not the guy for the job. I feel you're going to be better suited. Let's put out a plan, but I want you to basically take the lead on this. And that's recognizing your limitations. And ethically, as a therapist, I needed to do that. And when you mentioned somebody's coming to you and saying, well, you know, and you're telling, look, I may not be a good fit for you, but Dave Roberts is. Now, you may have forfeited 10 grand, but guaranteed what's going to happen is that the money he pays me is going to translate into referrals for you because of your ethical business practices. And the other thing, he's going to remember that you didn't take his money, you could have taken his money, knowing that you weren't going to be able to provide any value for him, but knowing that he didn't do that, now he's going to refer his buddies to you. And also to me as well too, because, you know, we talk about guilt by association, but it's also integrity through association as well too. So, I mean, it works both ways. And I think if more individuals understood that, that's a big part of servant leadership is recognizing your limitations and turning it over to somebody who can improve a person's standing. They're going to realize that's going to translate to the bottom line for them.
Servant leadership, servant leaders say no. They do.
Yeah.
You saying yes all the time, you're not a servant leader. And audience, here's an example. I have a company, I got 100 employees. One guy is just not working. He's in my sales department. It's not a good fit. Got to let him go. Well, I'm going to say no to him. And I could just say, hey, Joe, you're fired. And walk out. Nobody's going to be upset with that. But again, let's go from chin to nose level. Here's how you serve people in a negative situation. Hey, Joe, you know what? It's just not working. I think you know that. And he may say yes or no. But you know what? I called my buddy over here. I think he fit you so well, this company. Got an interview set up or whatever that's set up. That guy's not going to walk out like, what a dick company. Excuse my language. What a crazy guy. I would never. They're going to walk out like, what did Steve just do? Oh, my God. That's what serving and caring does.
Yeah. You weren't firing him. You were basically just trying to find an organization for him that was going to fit the skills that you know he has, but knows wasn't going to fit with your organizational mission or values or long-term goals.
Yeah. And they know that. I've talked to people that have done that. And 95% of the time, when the people have told me stories like that, that person knew and they go, yeah, Steve, yeah, you're right. And you got an interview for me? Yeah, I got a guy I think you'd be a good fit for. They know. It's just, it's emotional for them. They're going to lose their job. If they got a family, then money's not coming in. It's emotional. It has to be. Yes. So how do you handle emotion? You try to take care of those. If you don't have a job, tell them, hey, I can help you. Or maybe you find a different department. Maybe you can't, but just say, I'm here for you anytime you need something. Just don't just do, hey, you're fired. Hey, you're laid off. Hey, see you later. Can't use you anymore. Humans can't handle that. It's not good.
No. And that, but that's right. The other part of servant leadership that gets overlooked is the ability to say no, but here's a better fit.
Yep. Absolutely. It's lead and any leadership. We're going to work with people. We're going to stay, you know, be in line with them.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you as a leader, you want to be very open. Your whole team gives you ideas.
Great.
Just because you're listening to them doesn't mean you have to accept their ideas. You can go, hey, Jim, yeah, that's right, but we can't do that because of this. But thanks for the tip. Keep bringing those on.
Yep.
Leaders have to accept them, but have everybody involved, yes, engaged with it. That's all people care about. They don't want to be not listened to, not seen. You said that earlier.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And if they're listened to, they're going to buy in to anything that you're doing, and they're going to make sure that their leaders look good in the process.
Yep. And you said something earlier about partnerships that I love. I want to bring up again is skill sets, what we do.
Yep.
My business partner, Max, he's great in the back office, PowerPoints. He's smart. He's a coach. He's been a CEO. He knows that aspect. I'm the network guy. I'm the guy setting up the meetings. When I worked at a restaurant, they call back of the house, front of the house.
Yep.
Front of the house is the host and stuff. The back of the house is the chef. Well, I'm the front of the house. He's the back of the house of the company. And we flourish because we know where our strengths are. And we don't try to cross over because it's a waste of time. So thank you for sharing that. It's powerful. This is where partnerships can really be helpful.
You got it. Now, I'm going to steal this one from you. You asked me this question on your podcast. I'm going to ask you. And I think you know the question that's coming up. If you could have dinner with three people, alive or dead, who would they be and what would be on the menu?
Jesus, Sylvester Stallone, Winston Churchill. And I've changed this. Dinner would be Italian, family-style Italian, pasta, bread, lasagna, sausage, Italian sausage, tiramisu for bread, dessert. Being former diabetic and being careful, one time won't kill me. And I have to bring you because you'd have to be there with me. We'd have to sit side by side because I know me and you would enjoy it. And my dad, I have to bring a fourth one, my dad, because he's a hoot. Anybody that says, hey, I'm up, I'm vertical today. Churchill, because I think he's an incredible leader. Jesus, because of Jesus. And what's the third one I said? I forgot.
Winston Churchill.
Churchill, yeah, leader. So Jesus, Churchill, and my dad. Oh, it's just Stallone.
Stallone.
Because I'm Italian. I love Rocky. But he actually, on a funny note, my cousin went out to Italy where my family's from. We lived in the same town.
Wow.
His Stallone family and the Ramona family. Ramoni is what we're called. So I do that with the Italian food. And Dave, me and you would have an incredible time.
We would. And I love Italian food. One of the best meals I ever had was the Christmas Eve. It was the dinner of the seven fishes. And it was a good friend of mine at the time. His mom made it. I never left feeling so stuffed. And she wanted me to come back Christmas Day for lasagna and turkey. I said, Ange, you're killing me. I need a stomach pump now. I don't know if I have room for any more. I'm down. Anytime you want to do an Italian meal, I'm down.
Amen to that. We will do that.
I'm down. So we are just about out of time. And boy, I think we could talk for about another 2 hours, but I also want to be respectful to the schedule that you have for the rest of the day. If you could leave our listeners with one ultimate wisdom takeaway today, Steve, what would that be?
Get better 1% every day. Don't try to go from $1 million a year to $100 million the next year. Have goals, have dreams, have all that. But if you start today, November 21st, you got better each day 1%, you're going to be up 15, 20% in your life, in your business. Are you growing? Are you scaling? Are you getting better? So focus on that. Get better tomorrow.
Yep.
And you'll see your life literally flourish in many ways.
I think Buddha said a 1,000-mile journey starts with one step.
I'm going to borrow that. That's why I love doing podcasts. I just learned something new.
Yep. And I remember reading that, and I share that anywhere I can now. When somebody was thinking, geez, I'm not getting there fast enough. Well, you took the first step. Now let's take the second step. You know, progress is always incremental, and it's never linear.
Yeah, never. And entrepreneurs listening out there, business people, this is perfect for you. 1% better every day, you can get to your goal.
You got it. Steve, my last question. People want to get in touch with you, contract for your services, follow the podcast. What's the best way for them to do that?
Well, I'm going to surprise you, Dave. First, I want anybody listening, If you reach out to me or Dave and mention this podcast with Steve Ramona, I'm going to send you a free book. The first two people that do that, I'm going to award you with a free book. So you can email me at steveR1961@gmail.com. You can message me on LinkedIn at Steve Ramona, R-A-M-O-N-A. And if you mention the podcast, and if you want to add your feedback, I love that, good or bad.
Yeah.
Because we want to learn too. I want to reward you. And I give a gift of books because you know what, Dave? Like a podcast, it's one of the best gifts you can give somebody because you can impact them.
Yep, exactly. And that what you've written is going to stay forever.
Amen.
Steve, thank you so much for just a great conversation, a great time today. I know we're going to be having future conversations, and I look forward to whatever the path brings for the both of us.
Amen. And, you know, audience out there, if you get this before the holiday, happy holidays. Dave just made my holidays even more flourishing, so I appreciate that.
Thank you, my friend. And with that, that's a wrap on another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts, wishing you peace.